From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, April 29th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Diversions Puzzles and Games, committed to offering fun, social, and technology-free ways to connect at Hannaford Plaza by Main Mall and DiversionsGames.com, and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at RedZoneWireless.com.
A bill allowing Maine municipalities to prohibit firearms at voting places and government meetings faces long odds following a decisive vote to kill it by a legislative committee. Steve Missler has more.
The State and Local Government Committee voted 8-2 to defeat the proposal, with Democrats joining the Republican minority. The proposal was designed to give communities the option to ban firearms, which supporters said could intimidate some people or escalate tensions during public meetings. But those arguments did not persuade Maine legislators, who have historically shied away from any measure that could be viewed as limiting a person's constitutional right to bear firearms. Opponents argued the bill could depress voter turnout among hunters because Election Day coincides with hunting season. They also contended that a prohibition would be difficult to enforce without metal detectors and punish law-abiding gun owners while also making the public less safe. The bill now moves to the Senate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A bill designed to require students to learn about acts of genocide, including the Holocaust, is moving through the state legislature. Democratic Senator Louis Lucchini said a legislative committee initially voted 5-4 today on the legislation, which now faces House and Senate votes. Lucchini originally proposed requiring Maine to join the fewer than a quarter of states that mandate Holocaust education. Meanwhile, U.S. Rep. Carolyn Maloney, a New York Democrat, reintroduced a bill this year that would authorize Holocaust education grants from the U.S. Department of Education. And the legislature's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee heard today from the daughter of the late actor Peter Falk about model legislation she's pushing, which would protect vulnerable seniors from isolation and exploitation by guardians. But John Pelletier of the Criminal Law Advisory Commission told the committee that most of what's in the proposal is already in Maine law.
We are not in favor of the bill. I'd point out that almost everything covered by the bill is already illegal and covered by the criminal code.
But committee members say exploitation and isolation of seniors continues to be a problem in Maine and ask the commission to work on filling any loopholes in existing criminal law. In weather tonight, clear skies north with clouds increasing in the rest of the state. Light rain by dawn in the south with lows in the low 20s to low 40s north to south. Tomorrow, mostly sunny north with rain in the south, ending in the afternoon with some light wet snow in the mountains during the morning. Highs in the mid-40s to the 50s. The president of the Maine Senate has introduced a bill that he says is aimed at giving loggers the power to seek fair wages and working conditions. Senator Troy Jackson also works in the woods of northern Maine as a logger, but as Mal Leary reports, representatives of the forest products industry say they cannot afford any more increased costs.
Senate President Troy Jackson, a Democrat from Allegas, says he got into politics because of what he saw as unfair treatment of fellow loggers. Jackson has long criticized landowners and harvesters who turn wood into products ranging from paper to furniture, for, as he puts it, getting rich while loggers barely make ends meet. He says loggers take a major risk as they perform one of the most dangerous jobs. Jackson says they also bear the financial risk as independent contractors who must buy specialized logging equipment that can cost more than $100,000. As he made a case for his bill, Jackson noted an industry newsletter attacking the measure.
This arrangement won't recognize the difference between hardworking and productive contractors versus those that feel entitled. That right there is the mindset of the industry.
Jackson says loggers are only seeking fair wages and safe working conditions. But opponents argue that the wood products industry is struggling now and can't handle any increased costs. Alex Ingraham works for one of Maine's largest landowners, Pingree Associates.
We all need to work together during these tough times as a united industry to create more opportunities for the state as a whole. This bill would set the industry backwards.
But Dana Duran of the Professional Loggers Association says the issue at hand is not the right to organize, but making sure that all in the industry are equally protected.
But the fact is that employees of contractors already have the right to join labor unions under Maine law, and the legislation before you today is not about collective bargaining on behalf of unionized labor. With that said, we feel strongly that the question of equal protection under the law is indeed a question that must be decided with respect to the legislation.
Duran says his group supports some provisions of Jackson legislation, but opposes others. He urged the Labor and Housing Committee to take the time to thoroughly research the issues and craft specific legislation that will assure fair treatment of those involved in all sectors of the logging industry. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
4 months ago, or 4 months after Governor Janet Mills expanded Medicaid, nearly 19,000 low-income Mainers have signed up. It's estimated another 50,000 are eligible. Expansion of the program ended a years-long battle that began in the legislature and ended in court after former Governor Paula Page refused to implement the voter-approved law. Patty White brings us the stories of some of the people who've been waiting for coverage and now have it.
Donna Wall of Lewiston is the primary caretaker of her twin boys. They're 20 years old and have severe autism.
They're adults, right? But they function as a two-year-old because I have to bathe them, shave them, cut their hair, wipe their butts. I do everything for them.
By the time her boys get dropped off from a day program in the mid-afternoon, Wall has already set out their snack, which they devour.
Good job. Good boy. Did you eat all those nuggets?
Yeah,
those were good, huh? All right.
And she puts away the boots they've kicked off in the middle of the floor.
Oh, you guys, you're killing me here.
When her boys were younger, Wall had health insurance under MaineCare, the state version of Medicaid. But when they turned 18, officially adults, she lost her coverage. During that time Wall was uninsured, she slipped and fell on ice while delivering newspapers and broke her ankle.
And I have like $50,000 in medical debt that I can't pay. Just because of, you know, not having any insurance.
Wall says she doesn't know what to do about her medical bills. But now that Medicaid is expanded, she at least has coverage again. And she says that gives her some comfort.
I can go get a medical checkup and I don't have to feel like a bag lady or something.
While Wall had to contend with a catastrophic event when she was uninsured, Hillary Baker of Wales had to manage a chronic condition. She has diabetes and says during the past 18 months when she didn't have insurance, she relied on a hospital discount program to buy insulin for $50 a month, but it was still unaffordable.
It was basically, you know, begging off people as much as, you know, as much as I could, much as I dared, and then, you know, before it became too desperate, I started rationing.
Baker says she applied for MaineCare coverage several times after it was supposed to go into effect last summer, and finally received approval in February.
It was just such a relief. I was so happy. I did a little dance in the middle of the room.
29-year-old Paris Kayer Leary of Biddeford says his new coverage under MaineCare expansion opens up his budget for things like school and eventually a car. He has epilepsy and previously had insurance through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. But he says the copays, premiums, and prescription costs consumed much of his paycheck working in fast food.
So many other things that I'm, you know, haven't been able to afford that I need that money can go to, you know, and I can feel like I'm not risking, you know, my health.
Tricia, who asked that we not use her last name, also hopes that her new coverage under MaineCare will help bring balance to her life. She says she has thyroid issues and environmental and chemical allergies that put her in a perpetual brain fog.
I'm an editor, and sometimes it just takes me forever to do something that should take me a really short amount of time. I can't call up a word. I can't remember to put a comma here or not. So it's really difficult.
Tricia says she qualified for free basic health care through a hospital program while she was uninsured. But now that she has MaineCare, she's able to see a provider she's wanted to see for years.
Hi there, I'm Persis.
I'm so happy to meet you.
I'm so happy to meet you.
I have been looking forward for 2 years to seeing you.
Oh my gosh.
Persis Hope is a functional nurse practitioner at Maine General's Thayer Center for Health in Waterville. Tricia thinks Hope will be able to address the underlying causes of her health issues.
They look at your emotional state. They look at trauma you've had in your life. They look at what you eat. They look at how you sleep. They look at how your mental attitude is and put it all together to try to get to the root cause.
So tell me about how your health has been.
There's probably a few things, which is brain fog.
Okay.
Now that she has insurance, Tricia says she's hopeful she'll be able to feel better and move forward. The Mills administration expects to enroll all of the estimated 70,000 Mainers eligible for the expanded Medicaid program by the end of the year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And tomorrow, we'll take a look at how Medicaid expansions affected access to treatment for opioid addiction. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about this month's biggest Maine news stories. I'm Nora Flaherty.